Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Praise God. It's an honor to be up here. You know, I don't take the calling of God lightly. So thankful for the goodness of God. He is just so good. Just so thankful for Pastor Mark, and looking forward to hearing all the great blessings of his trip. And we are so blessed to have just such a wonderful pastor. I don't know where I'd be without my pastor. You know, God is just so good, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Praise God. Well, praise God. I'm going to talk tonight about leaving the 99. And Pastor Chuck's number one son-in-law has got scriptures back there on the computer for us. And I had to get that in before I forgot it. Well, Dustin, he's in the bathroom. I'll have to try to remind me to say that again when he comes back out. But so it's so good to be here. And this is what the Lord put on my heart the last number of weeks, actually. And, you know, I don't know, sometimes you're like, well, Lord, I'd rather preach about this. It just seemed like he always has a better plan, you know? I don't know what it is, but he's got a good plan for us, you know? So I'm going to start out today. I'm going to actually, Scott's going to put the scriptures up. I'm going to have you flip to Luke 15 to start with, and then I'm going to roll through some of these fairly quickly. Thank you, Sister Phyllis. We got one of them excited about the Word of God. Sister Phyllis is excited today, so praise God. Praise God. Luke 15, and I'm going to read out a few different versions tonight. I'm going to start out with the New Amplified Bible in Luke 15. This is the same story as in Matthew chapter 18. But here's where we're going to start out today. Look at Scott. He's just right on top of things, isn't he? Amazing. So Luke 15, verse 3, so he, Jesus, told them this parable. For what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost, searching until he finds it? 5, when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. 6, and when he gets home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. 7, I tell you in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Think about that. God gets more joy out of one sinner that comes to him than 99 of us people sitting here at church. I think we forget about that, you know, a lot. And, you know, I think about how much do we really understand God's heart for the lost? You know, we each can ask ourselves, do we leave the 99 for the one? And really, it's more like leaving the one for the 99, because the Bible says there's a wide path to destruction and a narrow path to heaven. So we're leaving the one for the 99, or maybe if we think positively, the 10 for the 90. But, you know, you think about the numbers out there. In a typical day, how many people all of us walk by that are going to hell for eternity? And, you know, that was me for 32 years of my life. A professional church pew warmer. Some of y'all remember my story. But, you know, I dressed up on Sundays and went to church and warmed up a pew to 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. And then I went home the same way. And I was blinded from the glorious light of the gospel. And so there's a lot of people we walk by every day, you know, that aren't going to heaven right now. And I'm so thankful that Rick Higginbotham witnessed to me when I was 32 years old about God's plan of salvation. Because, you know, a lot of people have this head knowledge of Jesus. Pastor Jerry, you know what that is from your childhood. We can have a head knowledge of Jesus, but not a heart relationship. And that's where I was for 32 years. And, you know, I often think about, what if Rick never witnessed to me? Would anybody else ever have? Because nobody has since then. You know, when you're out and about at Walmart, God forbid, or, you know, Mexican restaurant or whatever, people don't know for sure if you're saved or not, right? But I often wonder, what if Rick never witnessed to me? You know, where would I be today? Probably dead and in hell, to be honest with you, because I wasn't going down a good path. But thank God. You know, it's funny how you talk to people, and I've only been witnessed to once in 63 and whatever years, and some people, like, they get witnessed to like every other day. I'm thinking, man, God must really want those people bad. But he sent one lonely soul to come after me. So praise God for that one. At least he didn't send zero, praise God. But he wants us to all be saved, you know. But I'm going to read most of the scriptures moving on tonight. You can go there if you're a quick flipper. I want to roll through a bunch of them here, so I want to just kind of get a few things across to us. Galatians 12:2 in the Amplified Classic, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. I like that, dispensing good to others. Yeah. And what's better than the gospel? The good news, right? Yeah. And, you know, I believe in financial blessing and all the blessings. You know, you go to Deuteronomy 28, which I think we should all read regularly, figure out what you've been redeemed from in Galatians 3:13. Praise God. And I believe in all that. But there's no more better blessing than fruit in kind, reproduction in kind, and that's souls. And I think sometimes we forget about that, but that was Jesus' last message. And I like to put things in perspective. I'm an engineer, right? So think about this. This is like, you know, you and I know we're leaving this earth and we have an opportunity to talk to our children one last time. We don't have time to review everything. But what are we going to talk to them about? The most important thing is what I think Jesus talked about before he left this earth. And I'm going to read Mark's version of this, Mark 16. And I'm going to go through verses 15 through 20 in the Amplified Classic. 15, and he, Jesus, said to them, "Go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race." 16, "He who believes, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on the gospel of him it sets forth and is baptized will be saved from the penalty of eternal death." Now, I'm going to pause there for a minute. I love the Amplified because you can read other versions that says, "He who believes." What kind of belief do you have? A head belief like I had for 32 years? But it's a whole different thing, Bible belief, adhering to, trusting and relying on Jesus Christ. And that's what I was missing in the first 32 years of my life. I had no idea the difference there. Continuing on, "But he who does not believe, he who does not adhere to, trust in, and rely on the gospel, and him who it sets forth, will be condemned." We want to skip over that, right? But that's the people you and I walk past every day. We see them at work. We see them in our neighborhood. And we see them at school. Sometimes we see them at church, maybe. But those are the people that God wants us to focus on. And 17, "And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe." And by the way, these signs will not accompany those that don't believe, which is the majority of the church when you take these next two verses, right? They're going to follow those that believe. "In my name, they'll drive out demons. They'll speak in new languages or new tongues. 18, they'll pick up serpents, and even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will get well. 19, so then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." So think about this. This is right before he left the earth to be seated at the right hand of God. This is the most important thing Jesus had to talk about. And 20, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, "And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord kept working with them." Yeah. See, it's not all us, but it's not all God either. He's working with you and I. He's looking for people to work with, to sign up. Yeah. "And confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompanied it. Amen, so be it." Praise God. You know, I don't think we really focus on this message nearly enough as Christians in general. I'm talking about our church. I'm thankful for our church and what we do. I'm talking about the church as a whole. How much do we really focus on this last message from Jesus? Notice now, Jesus didn't talk about faith, and I'm a faith man. He didn't talk about faith. He didn't talk about healing, and I'm a big believer in that. My wife wouldn't be here, and some of my family members wouldn't be here. I didn't believe in healing. But he didn't talk about that. He didn't talk about the blessings. He didn't talk about you're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, everything you put your hands to prospers. He could have talked about, yeah, that's all true. But the very last thing he said before he left this earth is to go reach people for Jesus. He talked about souls. Talking about leaving the 99 tonight, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the Amplified Classic. But understand this, that in the last days will come, set in, perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Are we there, church? We're right there. Verse 2a, for people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered. I'm going to stop. There's a lot more to that, but I want to focus on that. Because one of the things I think the challenges that we have is this love of self has crept into the church. Because, again, I'm a big believer of the blessings of God. God wants to bless people. I can't understand this poverty gospel. I mean, I don't know what Bible they read to come up with that conclusion. Abraham was really a wicked person, I guess, then, and many others, right? Solomon and so on. But I'm not a believer in that. But, you know, love of self. We should spend time in our Bible. We should spend time praising and worshiping the Lord, right? They're all good. But what about those lost souls? Here a couple Sundays ago, I was driving by over to the donut bank. Thank God for donuts. And I drove by the sports park, and I saw all those people out there on Sunday morning with their kids playing sports on Sunday mornings. That didn't happen not that many years ago. Wednesday nights, practices, games, just these end times. People are lovers of self. They just want to have fun. They want their kids to have fun. But what about all those people that are out there pursuing money or fun or whatever, you know? And, you know, we spend a lot of time in our churches on God, the Bible, and spending time in churches, but how much time do we spend witnessing to the lost that are going to hell for eternity? And I encourage people to regularly listen to that YouTube, or watch that YouTube video by Bill Weiss, 23 Minutes in Hell. If you're having a hard time witnessing, watch that video. And he goes through scripture after scripture after scripture, what he saw in hell. God showed him hell for 23 minutes. And it was nobody partying in hell. And I think we should know about the alternative, right? I think some of the reason we don't preach about hell enough anymore is because it makes people uncomfortable. But we're going to be really uncomfortable if we end up there for eternity, you know. But, you know, what is God's heart? 2 Timothy chapter 2 in the Amplified Classic, verse 1. First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men. Down to verse 4. Who wishes all men to be saved. Notice it doesn't say the certain church or the certain denomination. He wishes all men to be saved. And increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely and correctly the divine truth. What's the divine truth? For there is only one God, only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It's amazing how many people think, people that say they're Christians think there are other ways to heaven. You don't even believe the Bible if you believe that. There's only one way. God loved us so much, over 2,000 years ago, he sent his son to die on a cross for you and I. And he's the only way we're going to make it. Now, notice in verse 1, it talks about prayers. I'm a big fan of praying. You know, when Rick witnessed to me about how you got to go born again or whatever, I gave him one of these. Stand back, Rick. I got my church. Leave me alone. And so, in other words, the witnessing didn't go that well. But you know, the Word of God is like a seed. That little seed was in there growing. And he prayed, he and his wife prayed for me and my wife for 6 months. When's the last time we prayed for somebody? I know a lot of people here, prayer warriors, probably say way longer than that, but some of us, we give up after a day or a week. I'll let them go to hell anyway. They were wicked people, right? I mean, it's easy to look at what people do with our religious glasses on and say, oh my gosh, right? You know, some people look like they just fell in that bait and tackle box, you know, and there was some ink in there too, and you wonder, like, what prompted you to do that, right? They're living for the devil. Right? That's what people do. Sinners sin, right? But so I'm a big fan of praying. And if it wasn't for Rick and Shay praying for 6 months, but that does not replace sharing the gospel. They go together. And, you know, I think a lot of times the church has a great hunger for the next revelation. And I do, myself, I'm always waiting for that. But How does that compare to interest in lost souls? Do we have even a fraction of the amount of interest in lost souls that we have for the next great teaching revelation coming from the pulpit? I'm challenging myself tonight too. I'm not just challenging you, I'm challenging all of us tonight just to say, okay, do I have that great hunger for souls that I have for the next great revelation? Matthew 9, 35 through 37 in the New King James, the compassion of Jesus. That's what we should all desire, right? It'd be hard to achieve that level of compassion, but boy, if we could just get half of that, 10% of that, think how we would witness to people. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Pause. Sometimes we forget we could pray for the lost, right? Are you a Christian? Okay, I can't pray for you. No, we should be praying for the lost too, right? Because God will do miracles in those people. But sometimes we skip the lost and like, oh, they won't believe in prayer. No, they need to see the power of God. Verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. When we're out there in the world, are we moved with compassion? We look at that and say the majority of these people in this audience, in an arena or whatever, going to hell for eternity. Are we moved with compassion like Jesus? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know, God knew then and now that there'd be few laborers for the harvest of souls. You know, I did a podcast a couple of years ago now, I guess it was, on a hypothetical town of 100,000 people with 20,000 Christians and 80,000 non-Christians. Some of those 80,000 are going to church and playing church like I did, warming up a church pew, right? But 20,000 true Christians and 80,000 non-believers. What if those 20,000 people witnessed to one person a day? Just one. Not a big deal, right? Take you a few minutes to witness somebody. If that happened, those 80,000 people would have been witnessed to over 900 times in 10 years. Anybody been witnessed to 900 some times in 10 years? In 90 times in 10 years? Nine, right? But that's the power that we have if we just go out there as a group, as a Christian community, and share the good news. You know, I think about my father-in-law sometimes. He passed away. How long ago was it, Shelby? Entire like a year and a half or 2 years ago, somewhere in that range. And, you know, I've been witnessing to my mother and father-in-law for years. Very intellectual people. You know, smart people are some of the toughest people to witness to. And so when I found out that he was in the ICU, we were supposed to go pick up my mother-in-law and then go straight to the hospital. I said, Terry, you will get your mother-in-law. I'm going straight to the hospital. And because I wanted to get there and pray with him. And so in the natural, he had a massive stroke, had that tube down his throat. In the natural, there's no way that he could answer a prayer but God. And I prayed with him. And when I got done, I had a peace like I had at that altar in Texas over 30 years ago. He's good. Either somehow he answered that prayer in that state, or the night before from all those seeds, he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and he's going to be up in heaven. And, you know, it's amazing how God gives you peace. So he doesn't want us to be worried about things, right? But, you know, that wasn't the greatest. That was pretty good. But how God puts you in a place. And so I felt led to stay there. After all the family came, they pulled out the tube. He lasted maybe 15 minutes or so, roughly. And everybody kind of just left. I felt like I should stay. And so after everybody left, there was just my father-in-law who was gone, the nurse and myself. And the Holy Spirit said, that's why I wanted you to stay. And so I shared the gospel with that young nurse. And she said something to the effect of, you'll never know what this conversation has meant to me. And I said, before the foundations of time, God knew you would be my father-in-law's nurse in this very hospital, and I would be here. That's how much God loves you. You know, sometimes we're looking for this perfect situation where God just send me to Zimbabwe to talk to somebody. But we walk by people all the time. And God is prompting us to share the gospel. And I may never see that young lady again. Because I used to, when I first started my ministry, I was like, You think you have to be Holy Spirit Junior. You got to lead them through all 10 steps and follow them around. You know, there are other people out there God's working through, right? Thank God, right? Because you wear yourself crazy, right? Trying to think you have to do every little thing, right? I planted a seed and others will water and God gives the increase, right? And so praise God for that young lady that I believe I'll be seeing her in heaven someday. John 10:11 in the Amplified Classic. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his own life for the sheep. You know, Jesus laid down his life for us. We just got to get a little bit uncomfortable and share the gospel. Anybody ever shared the gospel and the reception was not that great? Come on. If you've done it more than a couple times, you're going to experience that, right? But that doesn't change the gospel. Our job is to share. Their job is to decide. And we plant that seed, you know, and we work with the Holy Spirit and we talk to them and you believe in that seed. Luke 19:10 in the Amplified, the New Amplified. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why he came. He's looking for that one lost person. You know, our flesh does not want to seek that one lost person. I can just tell you. I tell those guys in jail a lot of times, you know, I go to jail ministry 2 times a month, sometimes on the 5th, so sometimes 3 times a month. And I tell those guys, I didn't want to come tonight. I got home from work. I was tired. I wanted to get my lazy boy chair and kick it in the L for loser. And I wanted to just relax. But I tell my flesh to shut up. I'm going to jail. Right? And, I mean, that ministry alone has been an incredible blessing to me. I've led hundreds of people to Jesus in that ministry. I left in tears many times. Why would God call me? But he's just looking for somebody to be willing to be obedient to what he calls us to do. He's not looking for Mr. Big Shot. Otherwise, he would never call me, I can tell you that. I mean, I'm just a hillbilly from South Dakota. You know, I got put in a box in second grade over my whole entire desk. Refrigerator box, right? They cut a window in the front to observe the teacher. Because I wanted to visit with my buddies. I mean, I was not thinking I was going to get called to ministry at that time, right? But God, well, he picked a guy one time that killed a guy and buried him in the sand, right? So he worked out all right, but we just got to answer that call. You know, and our spirit man wants to, he wants us to reach out. But, you know, sometimes we're like the Pharisees, the religious denominations. You got to be in our group to make it to heaven. We got the exact perfect recipe. I mean, the Pharisees missed the Savior of the world. God's chosen people, for goodness sakes, right? Don't think that can't happen today, right? Is we, you know, we think, well, you got to be exactly like us. Hey, let's just get them born again and let God work on them, right? Get them into a church somewhere. I'm not a big church recruiter, although God's prompted me to invite people to church, and I'm, you know, I'm thankful for that. But I told those guys in jail, I'm recruiting you for the kingdom. You need to pray and seek God and where he wants you to go to church. Because he has a shepherd for you to plug into. Acts chapter 2 in the Amplified Classic. Anybody get anything besides me? I'm preaching myself happy. 44, and all who believed, who adhered to and trusted in and relied on Jesus Christ, there it is again, were united. Unity is so important in our church. And our pastor preaches about that. It's just so important that we're unified. They were unified together. They had everything in common. Down to verse 46. And day after day, they attended. They regularly assembled. We should be assembled at church, folks. In the temple with united purpose. And in their homes, they broke bread, including the Lord's Supper. They partook of the food with gladness and simplicity and generous hearts. 47, constantly praising God and being in favor and goodwill with all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved from spiritual death. You think about it, we focus a lot on the apostles and the great messages they had about how we can live on this earth and victory. And I'm not discounting any of that. But they were adding to their numbers daily. Their heart was for souls. They were hungry for the lost. And so you and I should have that same hunger for the lost. I'm going to go on a little tangent for a minute here. I'm going to read an article from ChristianPost.com by Greg Laurie. And I quote, Let's talk about the three-legged stool of the Christian life and of the church. You remove one leg and the whole thing topples. Here are three for, we are here for three purposes. One, glorification of God upward. Two, edification of the saints inward. Three, evangelization of the world outward. Too many churches lean too hard onto one of these and lose balance. If the church emphasizes worship only, and worship is vital, but without the word, you're floating without an anchor. If all we did all service long is to have praise and worship, we'd be missing some things. Thank God for praise and worship. I love praising the Lord. If a church emphasizes evangelism only, people get saved, but they stay spiritual infants. They love Jesus, but can't find Leviticus. Oh, that was pretty good. They don't know their Bible, in other words. They're just baby. We're all born baby Christians with our little Christian diaper on, our little Christian pacifier. We ain't helping nobody. We need all the help, right? Thank God we can grow up. If a church emphasizes teaching only, you become academic, cold. You might know your Greek verbs, but forget to love your actual neighbor. It's theology without tears, unquote. See, it takes all three of those things. And I personally believe that evangelism is the most common missing link in spirit-filled churches. Just from what I've seen, I'm not talking about Archer, I'm talking about as a whole, spirit-filled churches. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39 in the New King James. 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." 38, this is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I use this to challenge myself personally all the time. Do I really love my neighbor if I won't share the gospel with him? Because I can help them in the temporary things, walk them across the street, carry their groceries, and I believe in all that. We should be kind to people. But do I really love him if I won't share Jesus with him? You know, James 4:14, I do this often in the jail, and I've probably done it here before, but I felt prompted to do it tonight. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. I have a lot of favorite verses. Anybody have a lot of favorite verses? Everybody see that? That's our life. According to James 4:14, it's like a mist, like a vapor. And if you compare that to eternity, it's like the ocean. That's just the beginning of eternity. Think how many sprays it would take to fill up the ocean. Trillions and trillions and gazillions, if that's a word, right? But we get so focused on that mist of time in our life, we forget about eternity. This time on this earth is so insignificant. It's nothing. But yet we're wrapped up in it now because we're in it. But we forget about where are these people that I'm walking by going to end up when their mist is over and they meet their maker. Because every knee is going to bow at some point in time, right? But we want it to be before that, right? Praise God. Anybody getting anything? Amen. Praise God. Matthew 10:32, another one of my favorite verses. I'm going to read out the easy-to-read Bible. If you stand before others and are willing to say you believe in me, this is Jesus talking, then I will tell my Father in heaven that you belong to me. Another verse I use to challenge myself, because basically it's saying, if you're telling people about me, then I'm going to tell my Father about you. I think it's a test of, are we really a true born-again Christian? Are we telling people about Jesus? Because according to this scripture, he's not going to tell the Father about us if we're not telling people about him. I love verses that challenge me, you know, because it's easy to be the best ho-hum Christian there is, right? I'm not against mega churches, but it's easy just to show up when you feel like it. When you're not there, nobody's going to know. You know, if you're not showing up here, you're probably going to get a call from somebody. Not because we bugging you, because we love you. And we're supposed to assemble all that much more in these end times, right? But you can just blend in to the church of mediocrity, right? And, you know, you can't help but, you know, with my calling to notice Christians, you know, and I would say maybe 1% of the Christians I've been around in my life really share Jesus. That's probably a little optimistic. And that just shouldn't be so. You know, in general, the church stays with the 99 and doesn't leave for the one. We can get busy with ministry, which I'm a very big fan of. I love Ray Bench's talk about the ministry of helps. It's excellent. And we should be in the ministry of helps. But that does not replace our requirement for meeting the Great Commission. Because we're only in here for a few hours a week, right? We're out there a lot longer. And I don't know if y'all noticed or not before, but before we can disciple people, we got to get them born again. They're not coming here to get discipled unless they're born again, right? So the first step we got to do is reach people for Jesus. Ephesians 4, 11, and 12 in the Amplified Classic. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. Praise God. 12, his intention was the perfecting of the and the full equipping of the saints. That's what the fivefold ministry is for. His consecrated people, they should do the work of ministering towards building up Christ's body, the church. The Living Bible in verse 12 there says, why is it that he gives us these special abilities to do certain things best? It is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for him, building up the church, the body of Christ, to a position of strength and maturity. We have the fivefold ministry to help us mature, fully equipping the saints. And anybody in the fivefold ministry, we have different gifts. God gives us different abilities. You know, if I were God, I wouldn't have called myself to be an evangelist. I'd have picked all sorts of other people. But I want to fulfill my calling. But I can just tell you, my phone ain't ringing off the hook. Because in general, the church does not have a hunger for reaching the lost. They have a hunger for the newest great word, the greatest teaching, and all that kind of thing. We should have that. I'm not disagreeing with any of that. But I can just tell you, my phone does not ring off the hook. I'm thankful the pastor allows me to be up here. I'm thankful I have a few churches that have me come in to preach. But there's not a hunger for the lost because my phone is not ringing off the hook. I'm telling you. Because we're so focused internally on what are we going to get, what are we going to get, what are we going to get, and God's going to bless us, right? But what about all the people on the outside? They're going to be looking at hell for eternity. And see, part of the calling in my ministry is to encourage other people to share the gospel. And when you don't have very many people doing that in the churches, people don't have a hunger for the lost because they're not hearing about it as often. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. Hope you're hearing me. In general, there's not a hunger for the lost. But people talk, you stop and talk to people sometimes about in the spirit-filled churches. Well, God blessed me with this. God did this for me. God saved me from this. God did this for me. Yeah, he does all that. But have you witnessed anybody in the last 15 years? Come on, I'm preaching hard now, but I'm preaching good. I'm not getting very many amens. But God loves those people we walk by every single day. Come on, y'all. I'm here to challenge all of us tonight, not just you, but myself. Most churches mainly operate in the two and threefold ministry, maybe the fourfold ministry. But notice God has the fivefold ministry because all those offices have a different calling and anointing on those lives. It's different because God intended for it to be that way. Because he needs all those offices within the church if the church is going to function up to its full capacity. You know, I thought about this earlier. I may never meet most of y'all's family. Some people I know well enough to maybe, but I may never meet most of your friends and family my whole entire life. If I do, there's a good chance they might hear about Jesus from me. But if I encourage you and others in other churches around as I go about and travel, to go witness to your friends and family, then we got more people hearing about the gospel. That's what my calling is tonight, is to encourage you all. If I get one person tonight to listen and go share the gospel, then I'm happy. If we get two or five, I'm thrilled, right? But I may never meet most of your friends and family. And they don't know me anyway. So you're going to have a whole lot better success reaching them than I am, right? Who's this guy? I met a nurse in the hospital yesterday doing some testing. Everything's good. A young lady. And God really ministered to her. I gave her the message of salvation. She's kind of never really gone to church, kind of goes here and there with a friend, but she doesn't know Jesus. I said, go find your weirdest Christian friend that everybody all your friends think this one's kooky. Just love Jesus, right? Like, I remember when Kenny's listening online. Hey, Kenny, love you. Call you healed in Jesus' name. But I remember when I first started coming to church here and God sent me here. You anybody ever meet Kenny first coming in the door? I'm like, man, Kenny is a Jesus freak. And I tell Kenny, you turn me into one of you, Kenny. I mean, people should see that we're fanatical. If they're in the outside world living for the devil, they ought to see something different about it. I said, go find your craziest Christian friend and go ask them, why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you believe like you believe? So that young lady doesn't know me. I plan her to see it. I want her to talk to one of her friends and ask her why. Why do you believe like you believe, right? But you plant a seed out there. You never know what that seed's going to do. Uh-oh, my iPad went to sleep. Got to quit. No. Don't you love modern technology? You got to tap on it every so often. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:20 in the Amplified Classic. So we are Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal as if it were through us. We, as Christ's personal representatives, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. That's pretty cool, being an ambassador of Christ, huh? I mean, come on. Anybody feel unworthy of that calling sometimes? But we, right there it says so, we're Christ's ambassadors, personal representatives. You know, I've told people for years now, I don't know if it was Brother Jesse, some of y'all maybe remember that had this prayer, and I've adopted that for years and years. I prayed, Lord, please put people in my path that I can be a blessing to, spiritually, physically, financially. And I choose to let your love shine through in my life, my thoughts, words, and actions. And I could write a book, I've been saying this for years, and I could, of all the times God's put people in my path. The time at Chick-fil-A years ago of that Christian day where God had me do a praise and worship song, a cappella, with all those people, and they stopped serving food, and everybody in there, we praise the Lord, how great is our God. I love that song. You know, I could write a book in all these different times. And not long ago, the Holy Spirit said to me so gently, he said, I could fill up a room full of books on how many times you miss me. Your God has a way of humbling you. You know, but his mercies are new each and every day. He's not mad at us. He was just trying to show me there's so much more that you could do if you just listen to me. And you know, we're all like that hamster in the cage sometimes going round and round and round, and we're not even going anywhere. And we get busy with the noise of life. What do I got to get done today? What do I got to do? And we walk by people all the time. We miss the Holy Spirit. Just miss him. And God's merciful. He's not condemning us, but he was wanting to show me, hey, there's more to do. I got more for you. Yeah, you've helped a lot of people. You've heard my voice. But you've missed me so many times. And so James is already going to harass me because I have a hard time preaching without sometimes crying. I'm so thankful God saved me. I think sometimes when you grow up in church and you never really lived out in the world, you just don't have that thankfulness sometimes of those of us that were heading to hell. We know we were heading to hell. God told me at that altar, he said, before this day, you were going to hell for eternity. You don't think I'm thankful? Thank God for his mercy. You know, we can ask ourselves what's important to us. What's important to you and I? Is it what do we get in this life? Or what do we give? You know, is our focus on ourselves or on others? Just challenging us. I'm going to read again from Luke 15. In the Amplified Bible. parts of this. So he, Jesus, again told him this parable. For what man among you, if he has 100 sheep and loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost, searching until he finds it? Verse 7, I tell you in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. You know, in jail, I'm often led, as we have people come receive Jesus, after they do that, I say, close your eyes now, raise your hands to heaven. At the very throne of God, angels are rejoicing over your soul. That's how much God loves us. And if you're having a bad day sometime, just think about that. Angels, the very throne of God, rejoice the day you gave your heart to Jesus. But they're looking to do that same thing for those people we walk by, that you and I walk by each and every day. He has that same love. You know, I had a couple of friends contact me today dealing with some severe issues. You know, sometimes they don't know a pastor. They're not really plugged into church. We're the body of Christ. And I'm pretty sure pastors want us to send every request to him to go answer those questions, right? And so people that respect me and appreciate me, you know, they got some severe issues. Heaven and hell issues. I'm heading, when I get done tonight, over to Deaconess Hospital. So I got somebody with some significant issues I'm going to pray for tonight. I don't want to go. I want to go home. I'm tired. It's been a busy few days. But, you know, it's not always convenient. Serving God is not always convenient. In fact, a lot of time it's not convenient. I'm sure it's not convenient for Pastor Jerry to get up but in the middle of the night and read his Bible. But what's our priorities? You know, I witnessed to a guy at a business in the area. A couple months back now, maybe close to 6 months or a year ago even now. And he was a volunteer fireman. John, by the way, was fireman of the year in Evansville. My buddy John right there. So thanks for serving our city, John. Loves Jesus, more importantly. But this guy was a volunteer fireman, John, and he told me he was going to be a fireman in hell. He's going to put out the unquenchable flame. And I think about that guy regularly, that God will open up his eyes to the glorious light of the gospel, because he's not going to be putting out any fires there. You know, I was going through the Burger King drive-thru. Their kids are king, Dustin. This is the one over, not the one that you had some issues with quality, let's say. This is another one. Where kids are king. I mean, you got to love a place where kids are king. And I drove through the drive-thru, and this guy that, you know, kind of fell in the bait and tackle box and the crayons and whatever, you know, and I shared Jesus with him. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will put a boldness on you to get people's attention. Some people are there way out there messed up. And, I told him how Jesus is real, right? When he comes, when we take your last breath, if you're not living for Jesus, you're going to hell for eternity. Some people got to get shook, right? We got kind of this soft gospel sometimes. I know there's love, but sometimes love is bold. People need to get shook a little bit. You know, you're not gonna make it to heaven believing on all your weird stuff. So I said, over 2,000 years ago, God sent his son Jesus, and he died on the cross at Calvary for you, and he thought about you on that cross. And, you know, I don't know if I'll see that young man again, but I'm believing God planted a seed, shook him up. Like, you could tell him. He was like, whoa, this guy's serious. Because heaven and hell is a serious thing, right? We got to take it seriously. You know, I've been witnessing to people before church the last number of weeks. And I got to find somewhere else to go, maybe, because Donut Bank, I'm thinking it's maybe not a good long-term decision. What's that salad place over there on Burkhart? Crisp and Green. Maybe I should go to Crisp and Green. Are they open up Sunday mornings, I wonder? but I like donuts, and a lot of people go to eat donuts, right? And so it's amazing how God will put people in your path, and those of you that know me know I'm not real shy. And so I, you know, I try to hear from the Lord. Lord, who in here do you want me to talk to? He knows who needs what. And by the way, we got to believe we're his sheep. We hear his voice if you expect to hear his voice. You have to have faith in these things, right? Speak them. Faith has a voice. Praise God. And so here, I think it was a couple weeks ago, God sent me to this table, this guy about my age, and just got to talking a little bit. Went to a spirit-filled church up north. Moved to Evansville. His wife committed suicide about a year or two ago. You know, can you imagine going through something like that in your life? So I invited him. I believe he's going to come to our church sometime. He hasn't found a church here in Evansville yet. He got remarried, and asked him what kind of church he went to. He went to Spirit-filled church. I believe he's going to come someday and get fed the Word of God so we can keep him on the right path. You know, because this is real, folks. This is just not a game. You know, we have to be ready. And, you know, I could tell a lot of stories about it. You don't need to hear all my stories. I'm just trying to give you a few examples. It's really not that difficult to go talk to people. You just got to open your mouth, have faith the Holy Spirit will help you, have you say not say something stupid. And if you do, he can still help you. Reminds me when I had Dr. Barkley on my podcast a few years ago. My prayer was, oh, Lord, please help me not to say anything stupid. And I probably did, but he's a humble guy and a nice man. If I did, he didn't tell me. He's probably got notes, and someday he's going to tell me. That was really dumb. But praise God. But, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to help us. And sometimes it's you got to laugh at yourself. If you say something stupid, God's going to help you. He'll work it out. He'll send somebody else next time that maybe will correct your stupidity, right? You can't hardly mess it up because it's the love of God on the inside that has to come out. And it's already in there. If you're born again, the love of God is already inside of you. So your flesh might want to slap them or do something stupid, but your spirit man wants to love on them, encourage them. They will love them into heaven, right? That Jesus has a plan for their life. He loves you and he has a plan for your life, right? And so, yeah, you have to know a few basics. God loves you, right? He wants you to go to heaven. He sent Jesus for you, right? You don't have to know. You don't have to memorize the whole Bible. Just share what you know about the Bible. You know, I just want to encourage you tonight. I hope this message is not too serious. You know, God gives me serious messages a lot of time because you get a lot of fruity messages on TV. You hear a lot about how God loves you and how everything's great and blah, blah, blah. You can make a lot of money doing that. Not preaching about it. I'm thankful for Pastor Mark preaching the whole gospel, not just the parts we love to hear, those refrigerator verses, right? But I'm thankful for that, you know, and but a lot of times God calls me and he gives, you know, these tougher messages about, okay, can we step it up a little bit? Yeah, God wants to bless us, but he wants us to bless us to be a blessing. So we could tell people, look what God has done for me. I mean, we could write a whole book, just this church, about what God has done in our lives, right? He's done so many good things for all of us. What a great God we serve.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.